Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It is July 21st, Friday night, and that's all right for fighting. No, that's tomorrow night. My bad. It's time for your Friday night SmackDown review. Like I said, I am Atul Pearl, and I'm joined, as always, by the number one Fightful co-host that I get to work with, and that's Alexis Cardoza. How you doing?
I'm so happy to get to work with you here today. It's been a minute. Look at us.
Man, I'm telling you, when Kate's like, I don't get FS1. It's not in my cable package. Joel, can you do my job? And I'm like, yes, Kate, I will bail you out like I always do, like I do on Sundays on Overbooked when her and I host a show together. Same thing, man. Listen, I'm just saying, once in a while, I got to do things for Kate. And this is
what she was a pro at this.
She's a professional something, you know? Anyway. This was a solid episode of SmackDown. We're going to get into it in a second. But while you're here, folks, leave a thumbs up on the video and subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. If you have not yet, what are you doing? We're on the way to 100,000 subscribers. And if you're going to be one of those people who's like, I'm the 100,000th subscriber, I deserve a reward. Well, no, I mean, it takes a village. Alex, it takes a village to do
this. It does. It really does.
You got to get on it now. Get on it and be on the ground floor of being here as a subscriber here at youtube.com/Fightful. And also, you can support us here a few different ways. Number one, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. We'll talk more about that later. And you can also donate a super chat here in the bottom of your window here on YouTube. Any amount, get your question or statement right on the air. Or you can head over to humperchats.com, where guess what? Same thing. Donate in any amounts. Read it on the air. As we get to it, we'll talk about it. I just realized that the document that our wonderful moderator Luis puts together, I don't have that pulled up because I'm so used to not using it. So here we are. I'm going to make use of Luis because he does a lot of work here. Alex, opening thoughts. What do you think overall tonight's SmackDown?
It was well put together. I didn't feel like it was a bunch of nonsense or a bunch of a lot of the same old rematches. You know, it felt fun. They flowed in. I call it NXT SmackDown tonight, by the way. I don't call it WWE SmackDown because they made it a point to let you know Orlando's the home of NXT by not only repeating it multiple times, but by having the entire cast there.
Yeah, they had a ton of SmackDown stars, some of which we talked about on Fightful Select, where you can get all the rundown, including, listen, the Cavender twins were there. You had Wesley Dragon Lee, of course, the brothers from Another Mother were there. Tiffany Stratton was there. She worked a dark match earlier in the night with Kiana James. The Creed brothers in the back. Who else was there? Tony D and Stax. We're going to talk about a whole whack of people who showed up tonight, but you're right. A whole lot of people showing up and doing their thing tonight here on SmackDown. Overall, though, this show, I mean, listen, flanked by the return of Roman Reigns and his challenge being made by Jey Uso. Can you believe it? They're going to do tribal combat. What is tribal combat? No one knows. It sounds like an ODQ match to me.
I thought it was another like tribal Punjabi match. like in a cage with like all kinds of stuff happening. I don't know. It could be. I'm not sure.
Okay, but what if it's better than the Nigerian drum match from WrestleMania?
Nothing will ever beat that, and I hope they do repeat that soon. They got to run it back. It's not fair. Everyone else gets matches that get brought back. Why not? I do got to say this. It's interesting because they do mention like the elders and stuff. So I wonder if we're going to go gimmicky on, you know, on SummerSlam and have people show up from the past, you know. There's people that have been there before, you know, like Rikishi and all them. They have showed up for little things, but I wonder if they're all going to go all out for SummerSlam.
It's a good shout. Jeremy Lambert and I talked about this on the Weeds on Fightful Overbook today. We asked, what are the rules of engagement? And one of the things we mentioned was the possibility of a lumberjack match. And then we jokingly talked about the members of the family, because it's a very big family coming out and being the actual lumberjacks. Instead, I also said, what if it's all the referees that Roman Reigns has taken out along the way? I don't think we're going to do that. But instead, it sounds like it's an anything goes match. It's a no DQ match. Jay running down all the ways that he wants to beat up Roman Reigns. Big fan of that. We're going to talk about that that segment. Let's open up with the Fatal 4-Way U.S. Invitational. Rey Mysterio taking that dub. Cameron Grimes, LA Knight, yeah, and Sheamus in the match as well. This was very surprising. Was it not, Alex? I was not expecting this. I thought it was going to be LA Knight.
They kind of already, you know, with them saying that they're going to be doing some type of push for him later on after SummerSlam, I kind of thought to myself, all right, who are they going to really push? What market are they trying to get into? And honestly, I'll just be completely honest with you guys, you know, like we all read FIFA Select, and we also did pay attention to a lot of the things that get said in these very shows. And I do feel like, and I've said this before, that they're looking to brand more of a Latin market, you know, whether it be with Rey, or if they're passing the baton over to Santos, which I hope they do. That's where I think that they're going to go with it. And I believe that probably for me being selfish, I know a lot of you guys love Los Angeles Knight. I kind of like really enjoy the fact that they're giving Santos some love. And I hope that we get him some type of championship gold around this waist.
So I've been saying this for a long time. And I know you and I, actually, the last time we were together, I mentioned Santos Escobar and the,
yes,
not just the ability that he has both on the microphone and in wrestling, but just the crossover talent, the breakout stardom opportunities that he has. I agree. They've done some really weird booking decisions with him, but it feels like having Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar feels a lot more of a nod to Santos Escobar's opportunity than LA Knight. I'll open up with a super chat from Anthony Velasquez saying LA Knight should have won. Dude is so over, yet they won't give him his due. And I think that's a very good point, because that crowd was hot as hell for LA Knight. They had signs in the crowd, those yellow yeah signs. Don't know if they were planted. Don't know if they were brought by fans and passed around. Don't know what it was, but you cannot deny that LA Knight is very popular. And one thing that I love right now is that for everything that people say about LA Knight being ripoff of The Rock, ripoff of Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know what he goes out there and does? He does the elbow with the run to the ropes, a la People's Elbow, and he does the setup for the stunner. It doesn't happen, but he's leaning into it, Alexis. He wants people to know. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't care. I am LA Knight.
I think that he's organically getting over, and I think a lot of the people in the back know this. Like, whatever's going to happen with him is going to eventually happen. And they're playing into the whole fact, too, that the crowd's getting hot over it. So they're playing the old tag team hot tag, right? You're waiting for it, and the hot tag gets done, and the crowd goes wild. They're going to pull that with LA Knight. So not saying that we as fans sometimes are not, you know, we're smartened up to what's happening, but a lot of the time we're not. Right. And I think that we're getting worked by them. So I think we kind of have to like pull back a little bit and not sell it. We cannot sell. We cannot sell. We have to stay strong and understand that LA Knight will have his time.
And I'm willing to agree. I'm willing to let them let it play out, as it were. I know that always gets people saying, oh, let it play out. But this time I'm willing to do it. Lately, they've been giving you a reason to do that. They hit the weirdest Tower of Doom spot ever. Don't know if you caught that. You had LA Knight with Rey Mysterio up for a superplex. Cameron Grimes goes for a Hurricane Rana, gets caught by Sheamus, pulled up into a powerbomb position, but it actually turns into Grimes grabbing LA Knight around his waist for a German suplex, powerbomb, superplex. All four men go down. That was fun. It was a really good spot
there. Yeah.
It was a really good setup. Again, Rey Mysterio continues to be smooth in the ring as he is. Escobar coming out in the middle and fighting off Austin Theory, because Theory is at ringside, gets involved with the original finish with Rey Mysterio almost getting the win. But it doesn't matter. Rey Mysterio pins Cameron Grimes. That's it. That's all. It's going to be Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio next week in the finals. Winner gets a shot at the Austin Theory U.S. Championship. Now, what's even more interesting to me is that they didn't say that this is a SummerSlam match. They said it's just a shot at the title. I have a feeling, I have a theory that it's going to be on the SmackDown going into SummerSlam. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, I do feel like the title should be defended on a big stage. I also do feel that perhaps having, putting a little bit of shine on Santos, and maybe perhaps... And I know I'm predicting Saint Santos is going to beat Rey, but I do feel like this might be the passing of the baton a little bit here, where you kind of see if it does happen. Armchair quarterbacking right now. If it were to happen, you would see that embrace between the two, right? And that would be a great thing for WWE to do. I've mentioned this with Kaden. I think I've also mentioned it with you, is that we as Latinos have a love for our professional wrestlers. And I think that, unfortunately, in the last 15 years, it's been Rey and that's it. You know, there hasn't been anyone else. Anyone else that they've tried, they've dropped the ball. They just kind of just left on their own. So if they do go and pass the baton over to Santos, and Santos, wherever they take it, and he wins, I think that'll be such a big deal in the community.
Man, I couldn't agree with you more. The representation is there. It's important. We're going to talk about that match, because later on, post-match, Austin Theory goes and finds Adam Pearce, says, I want a match with Santos Escobar. Pearce is like, sure, it'll be for the U.S. title. And Theory's like, no. He doesn't deserve that. He disrespected me.
There's the preview, by the way. I think they kind of gave us a little bit of what the crowd might. They wanted to see how the crowd was going to work, right? And a lot of these things always get done on house shows. And to do it on national television like this kind of proved, oh, wow, like this really could be a great thing for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about that match in a little bit. I'm the kind of guy who likes to go through the show.
Me too. Yes.
Chronologically. There we go. They showed Jey Uso walking by the Creed brothers, Tony D and Stax. They showed the Kavanagh twins in attendance, again, as reported by Fightful Select, best $5 in the business. And then this is the real interesting one. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams are here.
Yeah.
And then later on, those two, they're going to be... palling it up with someone who's just made his return on screen, and that's the one and only Bobby Lashley. Last week, Lashley had the Street Profits, and this week, talking to Hayes and Williams, what are we doing? Is this Hurt Business 5.0? Because everyone keeps teasing the Hurt Business reunion that never happens. What are we doing here? Or is it just a business meeting?
I just think that, you know, Bobby Lashley is probably going to start getting into his new role. Like, yeah, the dude will still wrestle, but I think that this might be his way of kind of just like, you know, Jinder Mahaling it, you know, and I'm OK with that. I'm very much OK. The dude's been wrestling for a very long time and he deserves to run his business, the Hurt Business or whatever he wants to call it. And you know what? We have not seen a strong, powerful African-American group in WWE in a long time. Yes, the hurt business was kind of getting there, and then they kind of broke that apart. So if this is where Bobby Lashley is going, hell to the yeah, bring it on, man.
There's a photo that went out not too long after WrestleMania this year where you had MVP, Omos, the Street Profits, and Melo.
Yes.
I feel like maybe we're starting to morph into something there. I would not mind Omos, by the way, being a part of that group that we're currently fantasy booking in our heads. Because Omos, listen, every group needs a big old giant, and he's the right giant for those
guys. And why not turn him into that, finally, instead of that, you know, 50-50 booking that they've been doing with him?
Yeah, I would love to see it. But for now, I'm good with the intrigue. I love that Bobby Lashley is here. He's looking good. And people are treating him with reverence because he's been around for a long time. He is getting these young guys and he is bringing him in and being like, hear me out. And they're all like, all right, I'll hear you out. And there's a respect there. I like it.
Sure.
Speaking of respect, Charlotte Flair and Io Sky. I got to give this match respect. This was way better than I think many expected, mostly because it was on TV. And these two absolutely went nuts. You and I haven't talked about a Charlotte Flair match since the last time we talked about SmackDown. I need to bring it up because she came back in December of last year. And I said, that's just a remix theme. That's a Dragula by Rob Zombie. So next time you listen to Charlotte Flair's theme, start singing Dragula. You'll get it.
I am the one.
Oh my God. That song slaps, by the way. That's what kids like to call it.
If it's perfectly within within what you're doing. So anyway, they show Tiffany Stratton. She's in the stands. And of course, it does not lost on me showing me Tiffany Stratton and then showing me Charlotte Flair right away. Looks good. You got Bailey on commentary. Michael Cole's like, oh, I see you wipe the blue mist off your face.
Oh, man.
Bailey tells Michael Cole, I'm surprised you wipe the drool off your face because you drool when you sleep. Nailed it.
Yeah. Because you're stupid. She kind of lost it there. And when she said, because you're stupid, I was like, oh, she brought it back. Okay.
She knew what she was doing. This match was so good. You had Io working over Charlotte's hamstring and her knee the entire time. You had everybody doing flips to open up, and then Io just kind of showing, I can do this too. It's all good. I love Bailey telling Io to duck while she's on commentary and Charlotte's throwing those chops. The delayed sunset flip powerbomb from Io on Charlotte is really good. And then on the big old screen, Shotzi Scissorhands shows up. Shotzi Blackheart
scissor hands.
Scares Bailey. Bailey hightails it out of there. And then you do a whole bunch of reversal pins. You do the moonsault counters, which are really good. Charlotte hits a lion tamer, which they call a Boston Crab. We know. And eventually you get Charlotte hitting natural selection. I have to say, it was a little not great looking, but I'm willing to give it up because that match was real good. Thoughts on this match overall?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought this up because I enjoy the fact that they gave the ladies time to tell a story on television, which has been missing for quite some time. But it did seem to, after a while, get a little messy. I'm not a professional wrestler. I don't pretend to be one. So I can imagine how hard it is to keep that intensity that they were trying to bring with each other. So I'm going to disregard any of that stuff. I only brought it up because that felt to me like that's the only part that kind of seemed a little off between them two. But the match was told beautifully, like, you know, the story in the ring. I do feel like, again, and I keep on saying this, like it's this Bailey thing is getting closer and closer to her kind of like turning on Io a little bit, but today they chose to go a different direction. They decided to put Shotzi up on the screen and take her out. But here's what I don't get. If you're Io Sky and you are the holder of the briefcase, why are you crying, Bailey, come back, I need you, when you could just, you know, beat the living crap out of, because you're Io Sky, bro. You're like the lady of the skies or whatever. You know, you can defeat Charlotte, and she came very close to it. You know, that's the only thing that kind of at the very end took me away. I'm like, don't. Storyline, you don't need to be screaming for Bailey to come back or that you need her. You beat like five other women, dude.
I agree. I hear you. I think it does make things a little strange because she holds that briefcase, as you mentioned, and Io Sky is also, we saw, very willing to do things on her own. So why is she suddenly wanting Bailey to be there? Is she afraid of Charlotte? Is that what's going on? Is she thinking that she's not evenly matched and that Charlotte's the better performer? Like, what are we doing? It's a really good point. I like that you bring that up. And by the way, in terms of the match length, Anthony Velasquez sent us a super chat saying, I'm just glad the matches this week got a lot of time. The past couple of weeks, matches on SmackDown have been very rushed. And
this is
the point. We didn't have a lot of individual matches tonight, but the ones we did have, they were longer and they told good stories, including this one. Post-match, Asuka shows up, locks in that arm bar, takes down Charlotte. And so the officials have to come and break that up. And then later on, going back to the Shotzi situation, Bailey's in the back. She finds a knife with her photo attached to it in her luggage. And then her and Io run off. Io has to grab her clothes real quick and just scram out of there. What do you think they're going to do with this Shotzi thing? Is this just kind of a side quest on the way to SummerSlam, or will it go beyond?
I'm really hoping that they finally give Shotzi something to do, something. And I don't mean just like something to do just to get her on television or whatever. I mean something to kind of like get her character a little bit more time, show her range and whatever, because I feel like she really does have that in her. I really, really love her. I love her in-ring style. I love her look. I love everything about her. So I do hope, and maybe extended. Like, does it have to start or end at SummerSlam? No, keep it going for a while. Let this crazy character take you anywhere. Like, if they're integrating all these matches between NXT and WWE, if they're like kind of like blending them a little bit like they have been in the last couple weeks and months, then why not? Let's take this all the way to Halloween Havoc and have Halloween Shotzi come out and have this crazy Halloween style match with Bailey. I would love that.
Let's,
because anytime I think of Halloween Havoc, I always think of Shotzi because she hosted it and she's been such a, like, you know, like a big part of it. So I would love for them to kind of like continue the match on until then.
That's an interesting concept. It's a long time away. October. Yeah. I mean, it's
August next week.
I was going to say, it's all going to sneak up on us. Let's face it.
100%.
I like the idea of them maybe doing this crossover with NXT going into October. You're right. Shotzi's been at both Halloween Havoc so far. She's hosted them. This would be a good opportunity for her to have a standout match on a show that she is synonymous with. I like it. Speaking of NXT, they replay Dirty Dom Mysterio winning his North American Championship, baby. I love this. I really do. I am the antithesis of Kate when it comes to this. Dom winning this title is so much fun on so many fronts, to me at least. I'll give my thoughts real quick, and then I know it's not the NXT pre-show, but he does get into a match later. Dominic's not a great wrestler. No one's going to fight that. But the amount of reaction, the visceral reaction that he gets from crowds, that makes it worth it, to me at least.
Like, to complete opposite of his dad. Like, I mean, you are completely hated as your dad is loved. You have your skills to be a wrestler, but your dad is legendary since he was 19 years old and stepped into a WCW ring. You know, like, Jesus.
And that's where we get Dominic Mysterio walking in, Caleb Braxton interviewing Dom and Rhea. Dom says that he wants to show his deadbeat dad what a real champion looks like.
Oh my God.
Says if Ray wins the United States Championship, he's only the champion of the United States, whereas Dom Mysterio will be the North American champion, making him champion of all North America and 23 other countries. And then in Butch, this is the most we've heard from Butch since he's shown up as Butch. He basically challenges Dom to a North American Championship match. Dom says no, title isn't shined up, he's not ready, all the excuses. Nobody from NXT is here to make it official. And then in walks Shawn Michaels, as WWE socials called him, HB Chisel himself. whatever. He makes the match. And then Butch does the shrug, kind of like he used to be back in NXT.
Shrug,
walks off. Looking forward to this match. That's a little bit later. But they do show Roman Reigns in the back. He's looking at that Ulafala, which is the red lei that he's sporting around, okay? And he got Solo looking over at him. And he's looking at it. And then Roman kind of raises his eyes, like, what are you looking at? And then Solo just kind of looks away. And I love it. It's so awkward and it's so perfect. Good setup for later. What did you think of this whole... What do you think of the Dom setup for Butch and this Roman Reigns stuff?
Why, Butch has range. I like that. I forgot how good he was, because when they did the NXT UK stuff, he was pretty damn good on there. And, you know, he's kind of just been this wacky character now that just kind of just, you know, Tasmanian devilish. And just to see him just a little bit being able to shine like that today on camera and kind of show, even with the shrug, he looked human. He looked normal, you know, and it was fun to see that. So yeah, I hope that they continue to highlight him. I really do. And Dom, there's not much I can say about him. It's just a little weird that they did this. And obviously, it's getting eyes to NXT too. So you're kind of bringing the appeal of having the mainstream people that only watch SmackDown kind of say, hey, I know I hate him, so I want to see what he's going to do down at NXT. So I understand what they did there. So I'm going to give it a little bit of that. But I do want to say something. I know that you mentioned back when you said that Charlotte did the Lion Tamer.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny because Chris Jericho just tweeted out that Charlotte taught him how to do the Lion Tamer.
That's amazing. I didn't see that.
Someone said Miss Charlotte hitting the walls of Jericho looks pretty good too, Jericho. What did you see that? He goes, she actually taught it to me.
That's fantastic. Oh, CJ putting people over. I see this. She actually taught it to me. That's great. And you know, and it looked good. It looked solid. It looked like the original Lion Tamer.
So I love it.
Good on Charlotte. That was a fun match. Austin Theory, Santos Escobar. This was another fun match. Again, these two have some pretty good chemistry. Anthony Velasco sends a super chat saying, if booked right, Santos Escobar can be the next big Latino star in WWE.
Yes.
Exactly what you and I were just talking about. I love the callback to Lucha Underground in this match. You have Santos setting up to do that middle rope tope, and he does the King Cuerno, does the arrow shot, and then you got Wade Barrett calling out the ancient Aztec warriors. This stuff was so much fun. It was such a good, solid match. Theory is good in the ring. That's the reality of it.
Sure.
He's solid when he does this kind of match. He has a fisherman buster net breaker that looks so good and so fluid, but also just kind of why are you doing it this way? But it makes, again, looks good when he does it. A huge Frankensteiner from Escobar into the double knees, into the Phantom Driver, gets the win. Santos Escobar beating Austin Theory. It's non-title, but of course, the all-famous and all-important momentum is now on Santos Escobar's side going into this match with Rey Mysterio. What do you think of this match, Theory and Escobar?
I've said it before, Theory has really grown into this character, this person. They've given him a lot of time being the U.S. champion, so hopefully that has been part of his progression, his maturation as a wrestler on television and on in the ring as well, like, you know, speaking in behind the scenes, because he was not good at talking at promos or anything like that, I thought. But yes, I also agree with the fact that if we are going to strap a rocket to someone with this U.S. title belt, it would most certainly be someone like a Santos Escobar. And another thing is, you know, Dom has been winning because of the people around him, as opposed to, you know, just winning, right? Santos Escobar is beating everyone's ass and taking names, right? So bring it on, man. Bring on the representative. Tell the story right. Don't just give it to him just because you want to sell merch. And I think that they've been doing a great job of telling the story of Santos Escobar.
So what you're saying is you want the Judgment Day in a shark cage for whatever match Dom has to do next.
Can you imagine that? Also, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, just kidding, by the way, what I'm about to say is like, let's combine the U.S. title and the North American title.
I don't know if you could do that one, but goddamn, pal. It'll be good.
Damn it. Let's do it. I own everything.
It's the main champion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can defend her. Listen, again, Dom's a Monday Night Raw superstar with a Tuesday NXT championship defending on a Friday night episode of SmackDown.
The U.S. North American championship.
Meanwhile, the U.S. title and the Intercontinental championships at least know where they stand. Again, that's the vote of confidence that the Judgment Day has on the entirety of the WWE landscape. And it's good.
It's great.
It's not bad.
Speaking
of which, let's get into that match. North American Championship, Dominic Mysterio versus Butch. It's a little bit overbooked nonsense, but it feels like that's every single time Dominic comes out. Rhea's with them, of course. Butch dominates early. For some reason, early in the match, Rhea gives a chain to Dominic. But of course, that brings out Ridge Holland. He pulls the chain from Dom, and then Butch hits a big old X-plex for a 2.9. Later on in the match, Pretty Deadly come out. He got a wheelchair for Elton Prince. Prince William.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a night of like awful puns and really bad jokes.
This
was the night for me, actually. Butch and Dominic are basically going at it, and Pretty Deadly roll up to Ridge Holland, and they tell him to apologize. And then out comes Butch. Kit Wilson runs away. He's the brunette of the two. And then Elton Prince has to leave Prince William behind and run off on his own. And of course, you've got Wade Barrett in the background just losing his mind, putting this whole segment over, which is fun. And then the finish is Rhea chopping Butch's leg, Dominic running Butch into the ring post. And now this is where, again, so frustrating, because the Dominic detractors have something to work with here. He goes for the pin, Dominic on Butch. And referee Jessica Carr is yelling, he has to roll over Butch and then get the three counts. I don't like the referee making wrestlers look stupid as much as I don't like the wrestlers making a referee look stupid. I think in this case, you could have just done the finish, maybe leave something to doubt, whatever it is. I feel like referee Carr being like, you got to get out from under the ropes. You got to get out from under the ropes. It just made Butch look kind of dumber taking that pinfall because they had to roll him over and get the chance. So that's my feeling on the match. What'd you think of everything going into that?
Yeah, same. And I, a lot of tomfoolery with the stuff happening, and then, you know, and then someone getting involved again for, and I understand like that's kind of like the story they're going with, so that, you know, you get more of the booze and blah, 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 you know, like, but I'd like to see just these matches for Dom just be him, you know. Do I think that he has it in him? And that they can write that story 100%. Like, why not? You know, because eventually the Judgment Day, who seems right now to be the ultimate winner over, you know, groups that stay together over the bloodline, eventually they're going to disband. And what do you do with Dom? You know, like, you've been telling these stories for the last year that he cannot win unless someone is there. And now you're going to force feed me the fact that he could win matches on his own. You know, like, let's show me something. Show me. Let's continue to boo him. But, you know, the heat that he would get if he would to lean into a little bit of that Latino heat stuff, the cheating, the grabbing the chair, like all those little puns, the people would go nuts for that.
Technically, that's what he's doing now. He's lying and cheating and stealing.
And yeah.
And he's got the haircut going.
That mullet is in, brother.
He's got Eddie Guerrero. He's got his actual dad's, you know,
he does. Yeah, his dad's.
He knows, and again, people know he knows. He knows. There was a super chat from Tuesday from Jared. Something that struck me. The crowd chanting Dom's not ready, not you suck. Somehow that's worse. Even they're extending grace to Dom instead of actual heat. I don't know about that last part. I like them chanting Dom's not ready because that's what it is. The idea here is that he's not ready to win the North American Championship. They're not ready at the time to beat Wes Lee, who was, you know, the longest reigning North American
champion. That's true, too.
There was a lot going on, and it was a heated moment. And again, that crowd at NXT is always it's always very different. They call Canada Bizarro Land when it comes to WWE.
Yeah.
I think that PC crowd is the real Bizarro Land.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I've never been there, but
oh, you're better off. It's Florida, you know.
I stay away.
Where they were tonight, they were in Orlando at the Amway.
In Orlando, yeah.
Sold out crowd though. They keep doing it every week now.
Was it though? No, I'm not even gonna go there. I was looking at this show my brother to send me pictures because he was there. So I'll keep it to myself.
Hey man, I'm sure that we'll see the report tomorrow from Sean saying this was the largest gate ever at a show in Orlando for WWE or TV taping, whatever it is.
I'm not trying to be a hater. That's great because professional wrestling is winning right now. It is hotter than in the sense that like it's interesting that people, you know, there's television rights and things happening. That's what I mean by hot. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. But, you know, I just like it is what it is. There's 33,000 fans in the stadium today.
93,000.
Oh, sorry.
All getting their big MJF fix. Someone in the chat's mentioning that Wes Lee being in the crowd, they could have played something into the Dominic situation. And that's a good shout. I would have loved. And when I saw Wes Lee and Dragon Lee in the crowd, I was like, oh. And I saw the Fightful Select report that had the breakdown. Said, there's an opportunity here. If you're going to do a Dominic Mysterio match and Wes Lee's here, why wouldn't you have some sort of interaction? Michael Cole can easily just be like, oh, this is the man who Dominic, you know, took the opportunity away from to compete next week at the Great American Bash. That, you know, that synergy that you can have. I would like that. That'd be good. Anyway, you know what else is really good, by the way?
Who?
FightfulSelect.com.
Oh.
It's the best $5 in the business. You can get notes on tonight's SmackDown. You got the rundown. There was an update on Big E over on FightfulSelect.com. The Cavender twins being backstage. We already talked about that. That was noted. You want notes from the Cody Rhodes interview that Sean Ross Sapp did? We got those notes over on FightfulSelect.com. The best $5 in the business.
For less than 17 cents a day, you too can get some of the greatest stories behind professional wrestling. Although with some great shows. People, you spend more money on crap. Trust me. I know you do.
I go out of my way to spend on crap.
I go out of my ways to take $5 out of my pocket, crumble it up, and just throw it across the highway. Okay.
You see these Reese's Pieces caramel?
Those are so good. Stop it.
Yeah, you see these?
That is not crap. Take it back, Joel.
They cost half a month of Fightful Select subscription. And that's Canadian, by the way.
Those are so delicious.
They are really good, by the way. You should go get those. And the cookie flavored ones. Those are awesome.
Oh, God. He's doing it to me.
That's okay. And you can also get Sean's Q&A from earlier today. Sour Graps, if you want that viewpoint on WWE that's a little different from the ones that you and I might give.
Well, yes.
Alex Palowski has you set up there every post-Raw. And, of course, they do a post-SmackDown. Coexisting After Dark with Rob and Maggie is there. There is so much content every single day. You want the original plans for Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view, which is going on right now, by the way. And there will be a post-show here on Fightful.com, on YouTube.com/Fightful, SP3 and Righteous Reg. They'll be here after us to talk about that show. So that's on YouTube.com/Fightful. But on Fightful Select, you can get all the notes and all the news and all the exclusive info that you can need ever in life. $5.
Yes.
$5. I just said $5.com. That's how you know I'm tired.
I'm actually buying that URL as we speak and forwarding it over to Fightful Select.
My favorite. Next week on the show, Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio in the US title finals. The winner gets Austin Theory at an undisclosed time. And Karrion Kross takes on the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, G1 performer performing during G1 season. Carl Anderson gets a singles match. What do you think?
Yeah. It's maybe, I don't know, like, is it about time?
Hey, man, it's Andrew season.
Jesus.
It's time.
Jesus.
2012 was so long ago.
It really was. My God. I'm old.
Me too. It's really painful, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is painful. So really quick story before we get to our last thing here. I built a home gym and I'm doing like legs and I'm like, yeah, I feel swole, baby, because I did upper body a day ago and now I'm doing legs. I'm going to feel great. For the last 2 days, I can barely walk, Joel. I can't sit. I can't stand. I can't do anything. I feel like a baby calf that was just born.
You're going to have to get a Prince William of your own.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely need a Prince William.
Luis is writing in our chat window here. Bright lights, Carl Anderson coming back next week, baby.
Yeah, let's do it.
Man. Vance Wimbley sent us a super chat saying, what a boot, ROH, Joel. First of all, haha, funny.
Oh, I see what he did there.
Because I'm Canadian. I don't do many Canadianisms. My about sounds like about because I am a world-class performer, I guess. I don't know. Either way, Ring of Honor, yes. Good show right now. I'm going to go back and watch that. Looking forward to it. There's been some good stuff. Athena and Willow are main eventing tonight, which is great. They are the final match on the show. So very much looking forward to that. And they announced Pac versus Gravity next week on Dynamite.
That's on its own.
I need Gravity to confront Pac in a backstage and be like, remember me.
Oh my God. That's the man. What is it? The man that Gravity forgot.
Yeah, you get it.
I'm old, Joel. Of course I'm going to get it. It was when he was Mighty Mouse back in WWF.
That was it. Here I come to save the day. Jey Uso is out next. It's time for the drama and the cinema of the week. Jey Uso and Roman Reigns go face to face for the rules of engagement. I love Jey's new shirt, the real chief shirt. And out comes Roman and does his 8 minutes out.
Insane.
But meanwhile, you have Jey Uso in the ring looking disgusted and so unimpressed and just like sick to his stomach of Roman and Solo and Paul Heyman. And we find out why. First of all, Roman comes out. He sits at the literal head of the table.
Yes.
Okay. Full props for that. He says, Lil Jay, you still want to fight? And Jay's like, yeah,
Lil Jay.
I got to do this. Keeps calling him Lil Jay. Says, I got to do this. I'm supposed to do this. Roman made me do this. Jimmy's in the hospital. So now I got to do this. I got to get you. And Roman just says, Lil Jay, you don't get it. You're a soldier. You're a pawn in this game. At this point, I'm just sitting here. I'm just like, Jay is fuming. He is so upset. Roman signs a contract that's on the table. They give it over to Jay. Jay opens it up. He takes it and just rips up the contract. Says, we don't need one. Says, this is tribal combat. And at that point, everyone's like, what the hell is this? Myself included. And Roman just grabs the mic and he's like, do the elders know? And Jay says,
I know, that was, yeah.
And this part, I'm just like, that's where I think the whole, you know, are they going to show up stuff comes into play from what you were saying earlier. And then he says, it was their idea.
Oof.
At that point,
there it is.
You gotta get them involved in this whole
thing. They are.
And so Jay says anything goes. He says all the things he's gonna do to Roman Reigns, including grabbing the lady's left slipper in the front row and slapping him with it.
I pop for that.
And then Roman,
my mom chasing me with a slipper.
I was gonna say, you're gonna have some memories out of that, aren't you?
Oh God. Still do.
Of course. Roman loses his cool, says Lil Jay, shuts his mouth. And then he says, I've run this business for almost a decade. It's not my first rodeo. And then Jay stares at that title because Roman stands up. He's so upset. Roman puts the title down. He's still wearing that. He's still wearing the neck piece. And he takes it off and he puts it over the title as Jay's staring at the title and the Ulafala. And he's like, this is it. This is it. It's going to be for the undisputed WWE Championship and the head of the table. It's tribal combat now. He puts the mic down. I don't know what I expected out of this. For some reason, both Roman and Jay meet in the middle of the ring as Paul Heyman's like internally freaking out. And they hug. They grab each other. They shake hands. They hug. It's like for the Star Trek fans. It's like that fight to the death that they do, Worf's tribe. Oh my God, what's Worf? He's a Klingon.
Klingon.
That's what the Klingons do. And in the back of my head, I just have the music.
I thought it was like very like penguinish to me.
How so?
They look like penguins just putting their heads together, giving each other love.
Oh no. It was a tense moment, but it was almost like a respect. It was a very,
sure.
It was surreal. It was strange. It was like, I respect what you're doing. You're calling me out, but I have to kick your ass now.
Word. Yeah.
So what did you think of this whole thing? And then Solo loses it. He tries to get involved. Jay super
yeah.
Solo. And then they all, you know, powder. They
yeah,
all
they all do. Yeah. They all do what they do.
Yeah. So what did you think of this whole thing? Because there was so much going on in this.
I thought it was fine, to be completely honest. I wish they would explain a little bit more, and eventually they will. You know, what is this trial by combat or whatever? Like, how does it work? Are we going to get vignettes from the elders of yesteryear? You know, like, you know, of how this works, you know, who exactly is going to be involved. There's a lot of questions, which is good. This is where you wanted it to be, right? You wanted these questions because you want to hook people. You can't just give them everything, which is what they used to do. The old McMahon era was like, let's just throw it all out there. You know, now you're going to stick around and you're going to watch next week because, you know, as time goes by, you know, you're going to get more information about this. So I do hope that we get a clearer picture. And I do hope that we do get some type of cool interaction between the families, you know, and I don't think. People need to stop asking for The Rock. He's not going to come. This is just have fun with what they're going to do and who they might be able to get in through the door family wise.
Although with a writer strike, young Rock is off the table. He doesn't have DC anymore. Dwayne's got some time on his hands.
Actually, I would say yes, I would agree with you on that, except for the fact that they are on a full onslaught XFL marketing campaign right now, and they are balls to walls with XFL between like their own combine, between, you know, they have this big thing planned for the first day of August 8-1. So like, you know, their social media campaign has picked up. Whatever's been happening in the back end of the XFL, it's really working because I'm seeing a lot more of them now and a lot more of their stuff, which means he definitely has his hands full as a whatever he's doing with the XFL. But I wish it would be that much easier for him to kind of like get up and come. Maybe he does because he's not filming any. But also, it's not like he was really doing anything crazy film wise. You know, was he doing Fast 23? Like, you know, he'll be fine. But yeah, I think the XFL stuff is going to give him. But would I love for him to maybe even make a little cameo? It doesn't cost anything to record yourself on your phone, you know, and be like the elders. You know, and kind of just let it be, you know, like whatever, like say like, I will kill you if you guys don't do this right because you're disrespecting us, you know.
There's a lot of opportunity here. I like that they keep mentioning the elders.
Yeah. They
brought them out before. Rikishi yes. still hasn't made an appearance in this correct. Story. You've had Afa and Sika do it. And again, yep. they are older, so they might not be... you know, in a position to travel. That's not for me to decide. But Rikishi certainly, you know, seems to be able to make a town or two.
My dude looks good too.
I would love to see it. I'm wondering who from that family can show up that's part of the lineage of the bloodline and get involved in this match. Because this is the first time in a long time where they've had this whole thing become direct family lineage.
Yeah.
And that Ulafala, if I'm not mistaken, was presented to Roman at Night of Champions Gold Rush. And that was the match where he beat Jey Uso and retained his championship. Yeah. That was when he was the Universal Champion. If you bring that all the way around, and that's what Jay's doing, he's invoking tribal combat, which, by the way, we got a super chat from John Wick 1 GM just says tribal combat. People are excited for this. But if this is the way that they are telling that story, that Jey Uso wants the thing that was presented to Roman when he was defeated by Roman, then this is a really cool beat in the story. Is it for the championship? It seems like it is. Is it going to be just the one title? Yeah, absolutely. Right. But I want to see some sort of family involvement, because this is the first time that the family is almost truly invoked in the story. When they said that the elders know about this, there's a lot on the table here. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what exactly do they mean by that. And they deliver. Just deliver. That's all. You know, like whether it's a video package or whatever, deliver stuff that'll get me interested in this tribal, not just say it. Like, great. That, you know, it could be as amazing as the Punjabi prison match or as bad as Brawl for All.
Oh, not the Brawl for All. That was great.
Sorry.
I heard that. That someone protested in the background.
Brawl for All.
Everyone loved the Brawl for All. That was SmackDown. That was FS1's version of SmackDown. Listen, we got through this thing in record time, because let's face it.
That's
matches
it.
Matches were good. Storytelling was on point. It was pretty straightforward. Honestly, I feel like someone called this a maintenance episode with the plus Roman Reigns, but for me, this was a solid overall night. I don't know if there's anything that you want to add as we invite anyone else in the chat to get a super chat in as we kind of stretch out a little time here.
No, I think it was good. They didn't phone it in. They did what they had to do. I mean, they can't just because it's a show on FS1, that doesn't mean you phone it in. I mean, people are still going to watch it. They're going to DVR it. And they pulled the old WCW Nitro at the very end. They replayed it immediately right after it was done. So,
see, I'm in Canada. We got Sportsnet here. And they immediately replay it all the time. No, it's
okay. They do. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
It's a weird
good
thing
to know.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go back to the LA Knight thing, just because I know a lot of people were shocked about this. I think when we get into our head that LA Knight is going to be the guy to immediately take the US title off, I think it's still a possibility, but it could be as easy as right away. This guy's here. Hi.
Hey guys.
How you doing, Sean Ross?
Hi guys. Thought that I would swing by briefly to give you guys some news here, stuffs here and there. We sneakily, very sneakily brought back the SmackDown plans, although abbreviated, on FightfulSelect.com. We've had a bunch of subscribers and non-subscribers say, hey, where did those go? What happened to those? Yada, yada. Well, Vince McMahon happened to those. That's what happened to those. I didn't feel comfortable with all the changes that were being made, and honestly didn't want to deal with a bunch of people saying, oh, well, this part of it was wrong, et cetera, et cetera. So I waited until I felt comfortable enough to bring them back in any capacity. I'm looking at possibly bringing those back full time next week. It won't happen every single episode, but there were also reports that Big E was backstage today at SmackDown. He was, but when I asked, well, is he coming back? What's going on? I was just told, don't hold your breath. That was up on FightfulSelect.com. That's unfortunate. I haven't heard any real progress. He's looked great physically. He says that he feels great, but I haven't heard much movement or anything like that. Tiffany Stratton, Kiana James, both worked a dark match before this show. I was told that's likely not going to be the trend, NXT talent ahead of SmackDown. That was the trend ahead of Raw for a very long time on Main Event. Now they just run JD McDonough against Apollo Crews every single week. Hey, if you want to know what you're missing on Main Event, it's that match, 7 minutes. Every single week, I'm the guy that watches it. I'm the one. But because they were in Orlando, they decided to run that match ahead of SmackDown. Which, funny enough, it was Cameron Grimes. I almost called him Trevor Grimes, working ahead of SmackDown, maybe late last year, early this year, was what tipped me off to his call up. Because when he worked a SmackDown dark match, I asked somebody, and they go, well, NXT talent doesn't work those. They work ahead of Raw. So I'm glad that they at least said, hey, let's get as much NXT talent on the broadcast as possible, because why the hell wouldn't they be there, right? And there was an open invitation to a lot of NXT talent to be there, and many of them took them up on that. I'm told that's not going to be necessarily regular unless it ties into a story that is being featured on NXT, like we've seen with Baron Corbin or Dominic or anybody like that. But we're starting to see some more SmackDown stuff emerge. Also, there were some complaints from talent about the Bloodline going over so much in recent weeks, and likely a reason why the Bloodline stuff was put, or possibly a reason why the Bloodline stuff was put last tonight. But another note, some people may have realized that the show actually went up to 10 p.m. Eastern tonight. That's because they aired on Fox Sports 1. They didn't have to get out of there a couple minutes early. So they had not only that, they could have went over a little bit if they wanted. But wanted to swing by, deliver some little news skis and all that good stuff.
Was the stuff with Bobby Lashley and Melo and Trick, do you, just in your opinion, is this something that they could use a little later, or would they want to use later? Because we're seeing a lot of Bobby Lashley talking to people now.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They're getting people to talk, and they're getting people to talk without saying exactly what it is. But I mean, that's what it is. They're teasing, like, oh, is he doing a new Hurt Business? Is that what's going on? That's exactly what they're teasing. Whether or not they'll do it, I don't know. Funny enough, it was a Vince thing. Vince was a big proponent of the Hurt Business until he broke him up. Triple H never seemed that big on it, which is very weird, because they largely helped carry the men's side of the pandemic. Pro Wrestling Podcast, our friend says, scrub, I don't want no scrub. Well, you know what, you can head over to the ROH post show shortly. There's no scrubs over there, more than I can say here.
Wait a minute, that's not very kind of you. It's not nice.
I'm joking. I really appreciate you guys. Joel,
that's my name.
I got a question for you.
Oh no. What's going on? What's on, Sean?
Why were you in front of me on the plane the other day?
Wow.
So that's not me. That is that's Rich Sambolian from Mattman Podcast. That's Andrew Zarian's co-host.
I got another angle of it here. That's you as hell.
Okay, so that's you as hell. Me. That's actually Joe Gacy. He's just been in bulking season.
Wow. I have been known to join cults a time or two.
You too?
Yeah. Speaking of, guys, Fightful Select plugs. So interviewed Cody. That full interview is dropping Monday for our YouTube.com/Fightful subscribers. For tier 2 Fightful Select subscribers, it'll be up Saturday. It's a hefty, notable one. Like, I mean, my God, we've got a lot of news that came from that. We went AEW heavy on this. I talked to him about smashing Triple H's throne, the Young Bucks, the BTE footage, his moveset, the AEW reaction, his free agency. There's going to be several notes from that on Fightful Select. I talked to Brandy about, you know, what she might be doing in the future. That interview will drop next week. Early access, all that good stuff on Fightful Select. We've got, like, I got home from Atlanta and I was like, holy shit, I got a lot of news. I got a lot of news that I need to type up and post on FightfulSelect.com. And we're going to triple up on interviews. Some of them I still had for Money in the Bank that ended up getting pushed back a little bit. But I'm going to get those published and up, and the ones from Atlanta posted and up, because I'm turning right back around and going to Detroit in a couple weeks. And I'll be sending Joel stuff probably that Friday and saying, Joel, please edit this. Please add the Nord read. We got him back. Ah! And we're going to be bringing a lot of stuff. So help us get to that 100K. It would mean an awful lot. I'm fairly sure we're going to get there by my birthday, August 30th. But you never know. We could get banned by then. Anything could happen.
God, no.
We have before.
The universe.
We got Warner Brothers, of all people, actually had us banned several years ago. We were without a channel for over a month. Yeah.
What?
We had to use the Sean Ross Sapp channel for that.
We had to use the Sean Ross Sapp channel, which just got taken off of the YouTube partner thing because I haven't used it in forever. The last thing I did was review The Last Dance with Jeremy.
Wow.
That's before the MMA channel was like overbooked or anything like that. Probably before we even had an MMA channel. But Pro Wrestling Podcast says, here's another super chat before closing time. Insert heart emoji.
Closing time.
Joel, do I have to do the audio for this?
No, I'm going to do this, of course.
Oh, okay, great. See ya.
that's how it goes. I always pull the audio on this. I'm not even going to bother putting up the sign again, but that's it. That Sean comes in and tells me what he's doing, and then that's how I find out that if I had any plans to go to Detroit, don't bother. Not going to go to SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, it's fine.
You live close?
I mean, I'm in Toronto. It's like a 2-hour drive. I can do it.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. You can get there.
It's not. It's okay. I'll be at Impact Emergence at the end of the...
Use the Fightful jet or helicopter.
The Fightful copter?
I've been using that to get places as of late, so...
It's the one benefit of living in the same town as Jimmy Van is that you just have direct access to it whenever you want.
I was like, cool.
Well, I used to live real close to Jimmy. Now I don't because I moved.
No PTSD from anything that I've done in the military. Just throw me in that copter and get me all the places I want to go to.
That's how it works. I don't know what else I can tell you. That's just how it goes.
I love this place.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get on out of here. The ROH post show. They're going to be up very soon after that show ends. Go check them out. It's going to be Regis Reg and SB3, who, by the way, they both rule. But also shout out to SB3 because he is a super duper versatile human being, very good at what he does. And so is this guy, Alexis Cardoza. Go ahead, tell them where they can find you on the internet.
Y'all can find me on the Instagrams, Alexis Cardoza. You can use the link in bio to find me everywhere else. I've been on Threads a lot as of lately. I do tweet because my sugar daddy allows me to use Twitter. And I'll stick to that.
how many things have you gotten from, because when you use sugar daddy on Twitter like that, the bots come out to play when that happens.
Oh, dude. You know, now that they're implementing that, the only way to get like DMs is if you're paying for Twitter. So yeah, go figure. They're bypassing Twitter by buying a badge, and then the porn bots just show up all over my feed.
Oh my goodness. Anyway.
It's insane.
Is that it for your plugs?
That's it, brother. I'm sorry. I got porn bots.
That's all right. They're better than no bots. I am at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. Go subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. And also Fightful Overbooked. Please, please, please. Jeremy Lambert and I run that channel. And we have so many amazing subscribers over there and amazing contributors. If you want just that secondary info, that over-the-top conversation that we do. Jeremy and I are live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday within the weeds at 10 a.m. Eastern. We usually have someone to interview. And also, Kate and I do a show over there Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Joel and Kate at 8, as we call it. We call it In the Ring. We talk about the week in wrestling, take a high-angle view, and just go crazy. And her and I are going to talk about Dom, and I'm sure it's going to be nuts on Sunday. So get ready for that. Until then, I am at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.